Williams, Caroline, and Svechnikov. And Botnin for their top power play unit. As Botnin now has it, lays it off to Teravainen. Now across to Svechnikov. They score! Svechnikov out in front. And it's deflected home by Sebastian Aho. And the Canes go up 2-0. The Canes setting the tone early as the Teravainen line is on the ice right now. Behind the net, it goes to Aho. Aho to Teravainen. Looking for Slavin, who cuts it. He scores! Jacob Slavin from his defensive position. And the Canes, 61 seconds in, get the lead.
This is the Canes Corner Podcast with host Adam Gold, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now here's the host of the Canes Corner Podcast, Adam Gold.
Something from home to get us going. That's Mike Krzyzewski, Duke's basketball coach, who wound the siren. This is the Morning After Podcast as the Canes beat the New York Rangers by the score of 3-2. The Morning After Podcast is brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina for all of your home exterior needs. It's the Aluminum Company. You can find them online, aluminumcompany.com. Way back when, in 1988, the Mets and Dodgers played 12 times during the regular season, with the Mets winning 11 of them. Didn't matter. They met in the National League Championship Series. The Dodgers won that series in 7. Last year, Carolina Hurricanes lost all 4 regular season games to the Washington Capitals. So freaking what? Doesn't matter. 101 into the game. Sebastian Aho to Teuvo Teravainen to Jacob Slavin, and the Hurricanes were, as they say, off and running.
Of Henrik Lundqvist, the Canes setting the tone early as the Teravainen line is on the ice right now. Behind the net, it goes to Aho. Aho to Teravainen, looking for Slavin, who cuts it. He scores! Jacob Slavin from his defensive position, and the Canes, 61 seconds in, get the lead.
Change the sixth sense that always exists between Teravainen and Aho. And my gosh, what a way to get to Lundqvist. Historically a Kane killer early. Perfectly placed. Looks like it grazes the bar and in right underneath.
It was incredible from Sebastian Aho to Teuvo Teravainen to Jacob Slavin. 101 into the game, and that's the big exhale that Carolina was looking for. Look, when you have played as well as Carolina played against the Rangers with Henrik Lundqvist in net, the 3 times that Lundqvist played Carolina this year, you could argue that the Canes had the better of the play, certainly in 2 of them, maybe in all 3, certainly in terms of shots on goal, and especially the first one where they shot 47 shots on Lundqvist and only ended up with, I think, a 4-2 loss. You would understand Carolina looking across at Lundqvist, who was, I think, a surprise starter for the Rangers today, and just be like, oh, man, are we ever going to beat this guy? And then 61 seconds in, a beautiful play, and it was really set up. And I talked to Aho after the game, and he talked about Brady Shea setting the tone. His check just inside the blue line on Rangers winger Jesper Fast. Fast, by the way, did not return to the game after the hit. Very clean hit, but the hit on Fast set the tone for Carolina, who played a very physical first period. It was a physical first period both ways. You didn't really expect that from these 2 teams. But Carolina was physical right out of the gate. It set the tone. It created the opportunity. And Carolina took that, went the other way. And then Aho clearing space for Slavin to come down from the point, take the pass from Teravainen, 1-0. Carolina was dominant in the first period. Outshot the Rangers 12-4 in shots on goal. How about 25-9 in shot attempts? Carolina was dominant, only led 1-0. Might have given you some cause for worry. It gave me some cause for worry. Then the Canes had to kill off a power play to start the period. Then they took another penalty. I think it was Trocheck that took the penalty at about 3.5 minutes into the second period. And they killed that off, but the Canes made it 2-0. And why don't we hear an old friend?
Teravainen Putnin, one-timer wedged in front. They score! Sebastian Aho! The redirection out in front. What a setup by Andrei Svechnikov. Carolina with a 2-0 lead.
Yeah, it was a great play by Svechnikov to throw that into the high slot. Williams was there. Aho was there. Seabass with the stick from Andrei Svechnikov. At 6:29, it was 2-0 Carolina. They had just killed off. And really, the story of the day, man, I gave three stars at the end. The third star, or the first star, really could have been Carolina's penalty kill. They were 7-for-7 killing off Ranger power plays. The Rangers did push back. Mika Zibanejad deflected a Ryan Lindgren shot for a 2-1 game with about 5.5 minutes left in the second. And at that point, the Rangers were starting to play better. Carolina wasn't playing poorly, but they spent most of the second period, it seemed, killing off penalties. I believe they took, four other penalties. I mean, the second period was almost all special teams. Carolina was good on the power play. I thought Carolina was pretty good all game. They only got one power play goal officially, although they did get another almost power play goal that we'll get to in the second. Getting out into the third period, I thought Carolina survived a pretty shaky opening 5 minutes. They started, had about a minute, a little bit more than a minute of power play time to start the period, and they were good. But after that, the Rangers really had control of the play until there was about 14:30 left. And then Carolina started to take back over, started to get to their physical game a little bit more. And then Marty Natchez at 10:51 got lucky just as the power play was expiring.
Niederreiter on the far boards. Skates in. Power play's over. Shot. Can't get through, but Niederreiter gets it across the way. Deflected. Score! Vincent Trocheck out in front. Deflects the Marty Natchez attempt in Carolina.
I thought that was a Vincent Trocheck goal too, but it actually deflected off the skate of Mark Stahl and in between the pads of Lundqvist, and it was 3-1 Carolina, and they were just the better team really all game long. And before we get to the final goal, which was the one thing that really bothered me about the game, but I thought Vincent Trocheck was Carolina's best player. He doesn't get on the score sheet. I think he was even a -1 because I think he was on the ice for the shorthanded goal. But I thought Trocheck was outstanding in this game. Another guy who was really good, we'll talk about in a little bit, was Morgan Geeky. But I thought Trocheck was outstanding in this game. I do believe he was Carolina's best player. They created chances. You may remember me saying this on the last podcast. I believe that in series, if you have a better third line than the opposition, you're going to win. You give yourself a much better chance to win. And today, Carolina's third line, which did ultimately get the goal, Natchez's goal, he's on the third line with Niederreiter and Trocheck. To me, that was the dominant line. Also, Carolina's fourth line was outstanding today, but I thought that third line was the difference maker, and I go back to the series with Boston last year, and we can talk all day long about Bergeron and Marchand and Pasternak. To me, the difference in that series was what, was it Ryan Johansson? Got his name wrong. It's not Ryan Johansson. The Johansson and Charlie Coyle combination on the third line was great. Ryan Johansson, of course, plays with the Nashville Predators. So just to keep it interesting, 3:02 left. Canes got a power play when Tony DeAngelo interfered with Sebastian Aho in the offensive zone, in the Rangers' offensive zone, which is silly. And I don't disagree with Rod Brind'Amour a whole lot. But I did disagree here. I tweeted out before the power play started that with 3:02 left, I was expecting two defensemen at the point. I was expecting Vatanen and Slavin to be at the point. Now, I'm not saying that this caused the goal, but Carolina just was way out of position, was pressing too hard to get the fourth goal, which I don't hate pressing to get a fourth goal, but with 3:02 left, man, all you needed was to waste 2 minutes of the clock. That's all you needed to do was drain the clock. And they were sloppy, they were out of position, and they paid the price. Ultimately, the Rangers took the puck down into the Hurricanes' end. They kept the puck in, and Mark Stahl beat Peter Mrazek from above the circles. Looked like the puck went through traffic, might have been deflected on the way through. Might have been a hurricane that deflected it on the way through. Mark Stahl still has the goal officially. Then it was 3-2. Canes had to kill off the remaining about a minute left in the third period, and the Rangers really didn't get anything in the way of danger. The one thing that was surprising was Mrazek made a save, a bad angle shot they made an easy save on, and put the puck right back in play, and the officials blew the whistle, so the Hurricanes had to go out and win a faceoff, and Vincent Trocheck won that faceoff. And again, I thought he was Carolina's best player today. Did not figure in the score. And we're going to talk with Alec Campbell in just a little bit. I should remind you, Morning After Podcast is brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Nothing really bad for the Hurricanes today. I can't say that there was anything that really bothered me. I don't think there was anybody who played poorly. Obviously didn't like the last power play. They took 7 penalties. I guess we can be upset about that, but they killed them all off, and the penalty kill looked dynamite. Remember, the Rangers were 5-for-15 on the power play against Carolina this year. It really was three reasons why the Rangers swept Carolina this year. The first is Henrik Lundqvist, and the first three games he played were spectacular. And Igor Shesterkin, who did not play today, a little bit of a surprise, obviously, who was dynamite, and the Rangers were better in the fourth game. But other than Lundqvist, the two things that really stood out to me over the course of the season series between these two teams was the Rangers' power play was better, 5-for-15 versus 2-for-16 for Carolina. And there were those momentum goals that really matter. Late period goals, the Rangers dominated. Early period goals, the Rangers dominated. And today, the Hurricanes started off with the early goal 61 seconds in. There were no late goals for the Rangers. Nothing in the last two and a half minutes of a period. Nothing early in a period other than the Carolina goal. So you take away that end of period, beginning of period momentum, and then what it came down to was the Hurricanes have a better team than the Rangers. This is not the fact that the Rangers aren't good. They are good. The Hurricanes are too. And the Hurricanes are really good. And we talked about going into this game how if the Hurricanes are going to win this series and advance deep into this, that they have to get good performances from their best players. And last year in the postseason, Andrei Svechnikov, who wasn't necessarily one of their best players last year, but Svechnikov in the first series against the Capitals, we all know what happened in Game 3. He had the fight with Alex Ovechkin. We didn't see him until, was it the end of the Islander series? I mean, I think it was the Islander series by the time we saw him, and maybe even the Bruins series. So we didn't see a lot of Andrei Svechnikov. And Sebastian Aho was playing with a bad left wrist. So we didn't have, he wasn't even taking faceoffs anymore. So we didn't have the best of Sebastian Aho. He did have 12 points, I think, in 17 games, which certainly isn't bad, but he was not a dangerous, dynamic player. But he was great today. And he had 2 points. Jacob Slavin had 2 points, each a goal and an assist. Teuvo Teravainen had the primary assist on the first goal. Great cross-ice feed to Slavin, ducking in from the post. So they got great performances from their best players. I thought they were solid defensively. They were physical. Hayden Fleury and Jake Gardner combined to be a very, very steady third pairing. I thought Joel Edmondson and Brady Shea worked very well. I thought it was Brady Shea's best game as a Hurricane. There were no mistakes from Brady Shea today. He was dangerous offensively. I thought he was physical defensively, and I thought played a really solid positioning game. But I said before, Vincent Trocheck's line, I thought Niederreiter was good, but Trocheck was great. Natchez was a little bit, here and there. But he obviously was dangerous. He scored the goal, and Natchez had some other good plays as well. But I got to give it up to that fourth line, Morgan Geekie centering Brock McGinn and Jordan Martinook. And it's tough when there's so much shorthanded time to get a fourth line out there. Now, Martinook and McGinn kill penalties. Geekie's part of the power play, and the Canes had 7 power plays. So Geekie got his ice time. But as a trio, when they were on the ice, they were really good. And the funny thing to me is that Geekie, I mean, you don't worry about him on the ice. he's just so solid and steady, and he's such a smart player. And I tweeted this out during the game, and I am interested to see what you know, how this plays out. And this is not shade. He reminds me of when Victor Rask was a rookie with Carolina, because Victor Rask was a trusted player as a rookie, and he deserved the trust. Victor Rask was victimized by injuries. He's not a great skater. Morgan Geekie's not a great skater. Morgan Geekie's a smart player. Wins faceoffs, knows where he's supposed to be, good on pucks. And he was, I thought he was outstanding today. And he's not coming out of the lineup. Ryan Dezingle, as I thought, he sat. Now, that doesn't mean that Dezingle won't play. I won't be surprised if Dezingle draws in and maybe Niederreiter draws out. I don't know. I mean, I think Nino was fine today, but that doesn't mean that Dezingle doesn't deserve a chance to play. But I absolutely believe that if there's no injury, I don't see Morgan Geekie coming out of the lineup. Gives Carolina another right-handed centerman to take faceoffs. And there are plenty of times he plays on that power, on that second power play unit. So he was great. Canes are physical from the start. Brady Shea was a big part of it. And how about the old man throwing hands? Justin Williams and Ryan Strome. As a matter of fact, why not?
One for interference as Andrei Svechnikov. And we've got a fight behind the play. Justin Williams is now throwing punches with Mark Stahl. It's early. He's throwing punches with Ryan Strome, rather. Justin Williams and Ryan Strome behind the play. The Canes veteran leader. Holding on. There's a right from Williams. And now the refs are going to stop it. Of course.
That's enough. We don't need any more of an old man fighting. Justin Williams was absolutely into it right from the get-go. What, 2:48 in? We had Williams throwing hands with Ryan Strome. Interesting stuff, man. It was a feisty game. They got going right away. Physical. Who says there's no emotion when there's nobody in the stands? A couple of very quick thoughts, and then we'll take a break, and we'll come back with Alec Campbell, the host of Stormwatch and Aftermath for the Carolina Hurricanes. Peter Mrazek was good. I mean, it wasn't great. He didn't have to be. The Hurricanes were better than the Rangers. With all the talk about the Rangers sweeping the Carolina Hurricanes, let's remember this. The Canes had 2 more points than the Rangers in 2 less games. So even with the 4-0-0 season series for the Rangers, 8-0, Carolina was, against the rest of Earth, a better hockey team. Don't ever forget that. Season series, I'm not saying it's meaningless, but it could end up being meaningless depending on the mindset of the team going in. Carolina did not play in any way like they were afraid. And I think Lundqvist was great. I think the Hurricanes, if it was any other goaltender today, maybe not any other goaltender, but the Hurricanes could have easily scored 6 times. Lundqvist made incredible saves. There's one on Jake Gardner where Gardner came in on a pass from Morgan Geekie, by the way, where Lundqvist got a blocker save on it that would have been a goal. I mean, that looked like it was ticketed for the left side just inside the post. But I think Lundqvist was dynamite. He stopped Warren Fogle on a breakaway, stopped Sebastian Aho right in the slot. Nino Niederreiter was stopped in the slot. There were a couple of crossbars and posts. So Carolina really could have scored a bunch of goals. They were the better team. And they were the better team than the Rangers over the course of the season, just not in the 4 times they matched up. So I do think you'll see Mrazek on Monday, just a hunch. But I think you'll see James Reimer regardless of what happens on Monday. I think you'll see James Reimer on Tuesday. I think the Rod Brind'Amour is determined to get everybody into these games here. I know you got to win the series, but the Hurricanes are a team, and they think about it in those terms. I think you'll see Reimer on Tuesday. I think you'll see Mrazek at noon on Monday, and I wouldn't be surprised if Ryan Dezingle drew back in the lineup in place of Nino Niederreiter. Morgan Geekie is not coming out. Quick pause, and then we'll come back with Alec Campbell, the host of Stormwatch and Aftermath. Alec Campbell with us now. He is the host of Stormwatch and Aftermath on the Hurricanes broadcast. This was a surprisingly lengthy aftermath for you, considering there are no There's no captive audience in their cars on the way home from the game. People can't even go home, drive home from the bar. Everybody watched it at home. But there was a lot to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all still figuring out this post-game scenario in this a pandemic-riddled year 2020, where we have to do everything via Zoom and,
right,
you know, things get recorded and whatnot. So I think hopefully next time we'll be a little bit more efficient, not just for the radio side, but for the television side too. Because I was kind of watching the post game on TV, and it looked like they were sort of sitting around filling time too, because it took a while for them to get Rod on television. So I think that had more to do with it than anything else, because I only took like 3 or 4 calls or something like that, and they were all at the end. So,
but there was there was a lot to talk about, though. I mean, this was feisty from the beginning. It was Carolina very physical in the first period, and then they get the early goal. So there was a lot going on.
It looked like a real hockey game, to be honest with you. Like, that's, you know, there are certain things you can live without if the Hurricanes are going to play that brand of hockey. And the funny thing about it is that relatively to us, they looked super physical. I mean, they were out hit by like 10 or 12 hits or something like that. Not sure you can always judge the physicality based on the hit tally, but I liked it from the very beginning. You know, Brady Shea setting the tone after a tough game on Wednesday in the exhibition. He might have been the worst Hurricane on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Comes out and lays the wood to his ex-teammate, Jesper Fast. Not even sure if Fast returned to the game.
He didn't.
And then the goal was scored, and then Willie, you know, throws hands, and then, you know, we're off and running here. So, I mean, so it was good way to get the energy up. You know, Rod talked about that, trying to keep the energy up in an arena with no fans and that kind of thing. So I liked what I saw, man. I liked what I saw from a lot of people today, to be honest with you. I can't think of, you know, one player that I was really particularly disappointed in. So I really liked it. I mean, you know, there's a lot of different ways that I think this series can be won. And I mentioned that a bunch of times in the pregame show, and I mentioned it with Tripp and stuff. I mean, you look at the top lines, the Hurricanes' top line was better than the Rangers' top line. I thought that Panarin was relatively quiet for most of the game. I mean, I thought Zibanejad was noticeable, but I didn't think Panarin really did a whole lot, to be honest with you.
No.
I liked the Hurricanes' depth forwards. I mean, I think one place that they can exploit is the bottom six versus the Rangers' bottom six. And I liked just about everyone in the bottom six today. You know, I mean, Trocheck, I thought, was active. Again, Natchez obviously scored a goal. You know, I mean, even Martinook threw a great pass to Jake Gardner in the third period that should have been buried, but a great save by Henrik Lundqvist. Geeky was good, and it was funny because I looked at Geeky's ice time to start the third period. It was like 2.5 minutes, and he ended up playing like 6.5 minutes. So he like doubled his ice time in the third period alone. So the fourth line was good. Nino was getting traffic and net front presence all day long. So I like that. So I'm not sure there's much to really shake up from the lineup for Monday, if anything.
Yeah, the funny thing is, I pointed out earlier, really nothing bad for the Hurricanes. The last power play I want to talk about, that was bad. They took 7 penalties. You don't like that, but their penalty kill was awesome today. 7 for 7 on the penalty kill. So, he didn't hit the score sheet, but I could make the argument that Vinny Trocheck was their best forward today.
I loved Sebastian today, though. He had 2 points, but man, he pickpocketed like 4 people.
Yeah.
Like, he was stealing the puck from everyone all day long. His defensive hockey was really good.
Yeah, he and Teravainen both, especially shorthanded. By the way, Jacob Slavin played 7.5 minutes shorthanded. I think that's pretty amazing. But I love Trocheck. I love that line. I love Geeky's not coming out of the lineup. I've made this comparison, and for people who think that, you know, I've always disliked Victor Rask, no, I came to that later on in Victor Rask's tenure. Morgan Geeky as a rookie reminds me of Victor Rask as a rookie, in that you can trust him. Rod does not mind. He gets power play time, but he does not mind putting Morgan Geekie on the ice in any situation. I mean, he doesn't kill penalties yet because he's not a great skater. But I think that'll come. He'll get better. He'll get stronger. He'll get some speed. He just knows where to be, and he's not coming out of the lineup. So I love that kid. And he wins faceoffs, and he was out on the ice late in the game too, taking a faceoff on the right side. Rod trusts him. It's amazing to trust a kid now 4 games into an NHL career. It just, that blows me away. What were your thoughts on the last power play?
I mean, I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Hey, here's what I thought going in.
I barely remember it, I feel like.
Well, because I was amazed. It was such a dumb penalty for Tony DeAngelo to take. Down 2 goals in the offensive zone. You don't have to interfere with Sebastian Aho in that situation. But with 3:02 left, I mean, you get a power play. All you got to do, your only goal is to possess the puck for 2 minutes. I mean, your goal at that point in the game is not to score. It's simply to possess the puck. And I really thought Rod would put 2 defensemen out and just play it very, very conservatively. But they put the top unit out, and the top unit was kind of a little bit out of position and maybe pushing too hard to get a 4th goal. And they lose possession of the puck, and they could never get it back. And then ultimately we get the goal. But to me, and right after the goal, by the way, they went to do defensemen. He put Slavin and Vatanen out there, put the top defensive pairing out there. So I thought that was just, I think they would like to have that back. It's all right. They survived the last 50 seconds of 6-on-5 rather, and they skated away with a win.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think there are a bunch of different ways you could look at this series, depending on who you are and what you want to make it about. I mean, we obviously always make it about goaltending, but, you know, if Carolina's top 6 can be better than their top 6, then or at least neutralize their top 6, then I think that's, you know, obviously good. If your bottom 6 can take advantage of a weak bottom 6 for the Rangers, then that's a place where that Trocheck, Natchez, Nino line, or whoever's on it, Dzingel, I mean, they should be able to feast on that third line. And then special teams is the other one. The Hurricanes were on the cusp of outright winning the special teams battle today until that. And the funny thing is, I mean, I'm not sure they necessarily lost it in the end, but, I mean, you know, the Canes scored a power play goal and they gave up a shorthanded goal. So on paper, it was even. But the funny thing about the Hurricanes and their penalty killing, I mean, they're a really good penalty killing team, have been all year.
Yeah.
But they were a team that, I mean, how many games have we seen them take 5+ penalties? I mean, I'd love to say that this is similar to like the beginning of the year when the refs are, you know, swallowing, you know, or eating whistles for breakfast. But the Hurricanes took 5+ penalties a bunch of times this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, I don't know if they're just comfortable killing penalties or what it is, but, you know, they did a hell of a job doing it today. They're not going to be able to do that.
No, not as a steady diet.
You can't take 7 penalties in a game all the time. Luckily, the Rangers took 7 too. The end of it was disappointing to see them sort of let that one in. But, you know, all in all, they were the better team in most facets of the game.
I mean, they were simply better than the Rangers today. And this is something I pointed out in the beginning of the podcast. The Rangers took all 8 points in the season series from Carolina, and they still, in spite of playing 2 more games in the Hurricanes, were still 2 points behind Carolina. So against the rest of hockey playing Earth, the Hurricanes were a significantly better team. And today, they played like the significantly better team. The truth is that were it not for a couple of posts and a couple of great saves by Lundqvist, Carolina could have had 5 or 6 goals. I mean, it could have been a runaway. today very easily. They were significantly better. I think the Rangers were only the better team for about 7 or 8 minutes of the entire game. I think Carolina was the better team the entire first period, and for, I would say, the majority of the third. After the first 5 minutes of the third period, Carolina looked like they were taking control of the game. When I talked to Rod before, and we're talking with Alec Campbell here, when I talked to Rod before the game, and for the sake of argument, it was yesterday, he told me that he was planning on using both goaltenders early in this series.
Yeah.
So do you think he plays Mrazek Monday and then comes back with Reimer Tuesday?
See, I think we've got a real interesting thought exercise on our hands here, because I asked this to Tripp too. And Tripp says you absolutely go back to Peter on Monday. I think it's an interesting scenario. If, I mean, we would be having this conversation anyways in a regular season, but given the fact that these guys haven't played and we don't know exactly where their bodies are at, but we're also in this scenario where, I mean, if Peter's running hot, then you kind of have to run him out there on the second night of a back-to-back too, don't you? I don't know how you do this. Tripp says, don't look any further ahead than Monday.
Right.
And if that's the case, then you're rolling Peter out there again on Monday. Okay, fine with me. But what happens if Peter wins again on Monday? Then what do you do Tuesday? And I don't really know the answer to that.
Well, this is my hunch. Peter plays Monday. Reimer plays Tuesday, regardless of what happens. That's just my hunch. That, again, especially in this series, this is entirely about the 18 guys in front of the goaltender. In this series is 100% about the way those guys play. It wasn't reminiscent because it wasn't the same type of game, but the Hurricanes beat the Maple Leafs with David Ayers in net because the 18 guys in front of Ayers dominated the game. So it's not going to matter who plays goal for Carolina, if they play the way they played today, which was, for the most part, just solid. It wasn't amazing. Right. It was just solid.
Agree.
And if they do that, they're going to win this series, regardless of who plays in net. So I think you'll see Mrazek play Monday, and then regardless of what happens, go to Reimer on Tuesday. So
I'd take this style of game, this style of win, solid like this, probably just about all playoffs. Yeah. Like the Hurricanes can sometimes dazzle you with some high scoring games, and sometimes that's fun. But it also allows the other team into the game a little too much for my liking, especially considering the goaltending that they have and the goaltending the Rangers have, because the Ranger goaltenders probably are better than the Carolina goaltenders. Although, I don't know what the deal with Shesterkin's going to be if he was unfit to play. Who knows what that means?
Yeah, I mean, it was an injury because he was in the building wearing a mask. And if it was a COVID thing, he wouldn't have been there. He would have already been in isolation.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a COVID thing. He was just – the thing is, he played in the exhibition game. He played almost two full periods of the exhibition game. So I don't know what happened there, but he wasn't even the backup. Georgiev was the backup.
I thought they did the right thing anyways. I thought it was going to be hard to look past a veteran guy like Lundqvist and his experience in a really important game one with his record against the Hurricanes.
Yep.
I mean, I think NHLPR put it out that the team that wins game one in a five-game series wins at an 8-19 clip or something like
that.
Wins the series.
It's better than that.
At an 81% clip or whatever.
It's actually better than that. And it was in the game day preview, Alec Campbell. 87.5% of the time. 49 out of 56.
I read your preview, but you and the NHLPR people have different numbers.
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
They're wrong.
So, but either way, what difference? I mean, the point is, it's an important game. And you had a veteran goaltender there. I didn't think they would go to the rookie in this game, despite the fact that he's played really well. But anyway, back to my initial point is I loved the way the Hurricanes played. But I mean, the penalties, obviously, you can't take 7 penalties, but I'd rather them win this way than win, 6-4, 6-5.
I don't know if I'd rather, but I liked it. I did. I was just impressed with the way they played. They didn't look like a team that hadn't played a game that mattered in almost 21 weeks. And I think that's what stood out to me. They looked like a solid, steady hockey team.
But when they play those 6-4, 6-5 games, they're teetering on the edge of losing them. Right, this one, fine. They were in control. They were in control of the whole time.
100%. Yes, they were. They knew they were the better team, and I think there is something to be said for that. They played like a confident team, and I do not want to discount the impact of scoring 61 seconds in, because I think that if you don't get that goal, the longer that game stays scoreless, and even if you're dominating, Lundqvist makes save after save after save, you go, are we ever going to beat this guy? So getting that one right away, especially the way it was, beautiful goal. And then just, the trash goals, the 2 trash goals in front, deflection, and then one off the skate. There are so many good signs about the way this game went. Final thing for you, Alec Campbell, before we let you go home. You mentioned early you don't see any lineup changes. I agree. I don't see a need to make a lineup change. But Dzingel played well against the Capitals in that exhibition game, and he's not in because there are certain guys that can't come out. Do you think they basically go with the same lineup, also no TVR?
I think they will, yeah, because I think if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And no one played poorly enough. When Rod looks at the tape, he's not going to go back and say, well, this guy didn't effort enough for me to warrant putting him back in. Like, he didn't, like, every player, I feel like, earned another start. I mean, essentially, or earned another day to dress. And, Dzingel in the game, I mean, against this team, and I don't know that he would be necessarily matched up against any of those top 2 line guys, but, Dzingel's got lapses in his defensive game a lot.
Yep.
He played well on Wednesday, but that was an exhibition game. And, he'd have to be on his P's and Q's if he finds himself on the ice with Artemi Panarin or Buchnevich or Zibanejad or any of those top 6 dudes. And I think Rod probably feels good about what he saw today, so he doesn't want to mess it up.
I don't disagree with that. I think we will see the same lineup. All right, Alec Campbell, Stormwatch Aftermath host at Alec Campbell 5 on Twitter. We'll do this again. We got a game Monday at noon.
Yes, another nooner. I love it. Love noon hockey.
It's beautiful. This
is noon summer hockey. It's amazing.
In August.
It's like morning major golf for me. I love it.
All right, man. Thank you so much for your time.
All right, man. Later.
All right, we're done. We'll have a game day preview, another morning after podcast. This will be the 3rd morning after podcast. Remember, at least 20 episodes of the Morning After podcast are coming your way. This is episode 2. Canes beat the Rangers 3-2. Thanks to our friends at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it's for the exterior of your home, the experts are at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina, aluminumcompany.com. Thank you so much for your time. Thanks to Alec Campbell. And we will see you next time in the Morning After podcast. I'm Adam Gold. Bye.
You've been listening to the Canes Corner podcast with Adam Gold. Don't forget, there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL SportsFan app. And you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. Thanks again for listening to the Canes Corner podcast.